Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Gail Duffy, and I'm a deacon here at Christ the King Anglican Church. And before I begin, if you know me, you know I invite interaction during my sermon. It's okay if you answer out loud, but please no heckling. My mom's watching today. I absolutely love the book of Ruth, and I found out this morning that our Ramona Bible study is studying Ruth now, which is super exciting. So if this even whets your appetite a little, go to their Bible study. Anyway, there are so many important themes in Ruth, there's no way to cover them all. So I felt like with the lessons today and with the listening to the Holy Spirit, that this is what God wanted me to highlight for you as themes. God cares for vulnerable people in society. God is faithful, and his faithfulness can be expressed through the faithfulness of others. In Ruth, we hear the story of Naomi and her family. And hearers of this story would know right away from the beginning, this was not going to go well. No Israelite would think moving to Moab was a wise choice. In the days when the judges ruled, if you look at your lesson, that's how it starts. Well, that right there also tells you, not a good time. It was a time of terrible atrocities. If you want to read Judges 19, you'll get a real disturbing story of molestation and abuse. And I'll leave out the details to keep this rated PG. But suffice it to say, it was not a good time to be either a woman or a traveler. In the last verse of the book of Judges, it says, "In those days, there was no king, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes." That's where our story is set. We meet a family from Bethlehem. The father is Elimelech, and his wife is Naomi. They have two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, and they're leaving Bethlehem, which ironically, Bethlehem means house of bread. They're leaving there because there is a famine, and they decide to go to Moab. And unless you were very desperate, Jews would never go to Moab. The Moabites were descendants of Lot, born of incest with his daughters. The first Moabite king to clash with Israel was Balak, who, if you remember the story, hired Balaam to curse Israel. The Moabites are banned from the assembly of Yahweh because of their history of being hostile to Israelites. They have a bad track record and they are despised. But off his family goes to live in Moab, and in short order, Naomi's husband, Elimelech, dies, and she's living with her two sons, Mahlon, which means sickly, and Chilion, which means wasting away or destruction. Wow. The sons marry Moabite wives, Orpah and Ruth. And I know you're wondering, Oprah Winfrey does get her name from this. It's just they reversed they changed it because everyone was mispronouncing Orpah and they changed it to Oprah. So anyway, yes. On top of that, sickly and wasting away did not produce any descendants. All right? So no one to carry on the family name, no one to provide future support for the three widows, Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah. And when I think about Naomi, she reminds me of another person in the Bible who also lost their spouse and children. Do you know who I'm thinking about? Job. Yep. Well, died. Job. Yeah. Whole family killed. Before I move on with this story, and I don't want to make lighthearted of this. I mean, let's pause for a moment and just think about this. Just consider the depth of pain that comes from even losing one family member. But like Job's story, this story will also have a happy ending. Do you know that Yahweh cares about widows? In Deuteronomy 10, this is what it says. "For the Lord your God is a God of gods and Lord of lords, the great the Almighty and awesome God, who is not partial and takes no bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow. Continuing with our story about verse 6. Naomi heard that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. The famine was over. So Naomi and her daughter-in-laws set out to return to the land of Judah. Did you know that Yahweh also cares about travelers? Deuteronomy 10, continuing. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Then Yahweh commands the Israelites, love the sojourner, therefore, in the land, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. So as Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah head off together, Naomi shows love for her daughters-in-law by telling them, go and return to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. And then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. Naomi knows it's not going to be good for them to accompany her. She knows Moabite women will not be accepted back in Bethlehem. And she's thinking these women have a better chance and a better life if they go back to their own people. Naomi has accepted what happened to her, but she doesn't want to bring her daughter-in-laws down with her. So Orpah kissed her mother-in-law and left. And no shame here. Orpah made a perfectly reasonable choice, and she was, in fact, obeying her mother-in-law. Then we have Ruth. She clung to Naomi. Beginning at verse 15, we hear Ruth's incredible sevenfold declaration. Look at this in your bulletin. Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. Wow. What could Naomi do then? Nothing at all. I mean, once Ruth made that vow, that settled the matter. Ruth decided she's accepting Naomi's poverty, and I actually believe she already knew Naomi's God. After all, she married into an Israelite family. So Naomi and Ruth went on and arrived safely in Bethlehem. God protected our travelers, as we would expect. And in Bethlehem, of course, the two are the talk of the town. Naomi, whose name means pleasant, states to the townswomen, do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Well, I kind of question that little rewriting of history by her on that part, because she left because there was a famine. If she means she went away full because she had a family, that I can accept. But anyway, so moving on with the straight scripture. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? Now, it might sound like Naomi is blaming the Lord, but it's much more like resignation or accepting a consequence. After all, the family went to the land of Moab. Thank you. No, I can't. The text is silent about whether her circumstances are a consequence of her own sin, Elimelech's sin, the corporate sins of her people, or something else. And that ends chapter 1. Now, in the interest of time, for the rest of the book, I'm giving you the highlights. And if you're saying she skipped my favorite part, well, you just read it yourself later. Ruth goes out to glean in a field to provide for her and Naomi. Sorry, this thing is driving me nuts because it keeps moving. To provide for her and Naomi. So be on the lookout for God's continuing kindness, faithfulness, and care for vulnerable people. Here's one. Gleaning was God's idea. And I'm quoting from Leviticus 10. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge. Neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. And you shall not strip your vineyard bare. Neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. So here Ruth goes out to a field. She asks permission to glean there, and she works hard all day gathering barley. Now Boaz, the owner of the field and a man of good standing, shows up. He talks to his workers, and he meets Ruth. And remember, this is the time of judges. You really couldn't expect good treatment. Then Boaz spoke to Ruth. Now listen, my daughter. Do not go glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? But Boaz answered her, All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and your mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before, the Lord repay you for what you have done, and full reward be given to you. By the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Then she said, I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoke kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants. I love this exchange. Boaz acknowledges that Ruth is now under the God of Israel's protection. He prays that the Lord blesses her for her sacrifice on behalf of Naomi, and he doesn't think, well, good luck with that. Go your way. No. He tells Ruth to stay in his fields, where she'll be safe. And he tells his men to let her be and not touch her. He knows how bad it can be for women in that time. He knows she wouldn't be safe somewhere else. He doesn't leave it to someone else. Boaz takes responsibility. So, how is it that Ruth ends up in Boaz's field? What are the odds? Remember, God cares for the vulnerable people in society, like those two widows. God is faithfully guiding Ruth to the field of Boaz, a man of standing, a godly man. Have you ever been in a really dark place and God puts the right person in your path? Just the person who can understand your pain and help you? One of those times when you think, what are the odds? When Tom and I lost our third baby to miscarriage, I went into a deep depression. Thankfully, I had this really good habit. It was called going to church on Sunday. And one day, my priest asked me how I was doing, and I just broke down crying. He said he couldn't understand my pain, but he wanted me to talk to someone who could. And as a result, I was introduced to a woman in my church that I had never met before. It was a bigger church than this one. There were people there you actually could not know. and she was a nurse for the best fertility doctor in our community. I explained to her that I knew there was a pattern with my miscarriages, and my doctor just didn't care. The nurse in my congregation got me an appointment with her doctor, the specialist. What are the odds? The nurse for the best fertility doctor went to my church. I know this was God. As soon as we saw Dr. Grackens, he figured out what was going on by looking at my history and taking several blood tests. After I got pregnant again, he began treating me every week. And the result of that pregnancy is my wonderful daughter, Grace, who's here this morning. And she's named Grace because it was a grace of God that brought her to us. And here in our story, we have Boaz. Of all the fields in all of Bethlehem, Ruth shows up at his. Let me tell you, folks, that is God. God is faithful. And his faithfulness can be expressed through the faithfulness of others, like Ruth to Naomi, like Boaz to Ruth, like the nurse at my church to me. God is faithful, and he uses people to show his kindness and faithfulness. After her busy and tiring day, Ruth goes home and tells Naomi all that happened. Naomi says, "Boaz is our close kinsman, one of our redeemers." Then Naomi hatches a plan for Ruth to go visit Boaz at night at the threshing floor. And what is Naomi's stated purpose for doing this? So her daughter-in-law may have some rest, and that it would be well with her. Like before, when she tried to send Ruth back to her own family, Naomi is not thinking of herself, she's thinking of Ruth. There is no way to tell what comes next in my own words. It's too important that you hear the scene straight from Scripture. This is Ruth chapter 3, beginning at verse 6. So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he lay down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over. And behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you." If you have read the book of Ruth or listened to it online, you know what happens. As a redeemer can redeem or buy land of a near relative. But in this case, it also comes with the obligation to continue on the name of the dead and give him an heir to the inheritance. When presented with this opportunity, the other redeemer is happy to acquire the land. But when he heard that he's also responsible for Naomi and Ruth the Moabite, what do you think happened? Exactly. He changed his mind very quickly. Now, his official reason for declining was because it would jeopardize his own inheritance. Yeah, probably would, and yeah. But again, like Orpah, this other redeemer is making a perfectly reasonable choice. In the presence of the town elders, the first redeemer declined and passed it to Boaz. Boaz keeps his word to Ruth, and he makes an extraordinary choice. A sacrifice that honors God and honors both the deceased and living relatives. If you think back to Boaz's and Ruth's first conversation, Boaz says, The Lord repay you for what you have done. A full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Boaz just became the answer to his own prayer. Do you see that? He just became the answer to his own prayer. He settled the redemption matter by declaring, "I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon. Also, Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from his brothers and from the gate of his native place. You are my witnesses this day." The God of Israel used Boaz to show his kindness and faithfulness to Elimelech, Mahlon, Chilion, Naomi, and Ruth. And you can read Ruth chapter 4 for yourselves to see that the land is redeemed, a descendant is born, and blessings are realized. Better drama than a Hallmark movie, and a wonderful happy ending. People like Boaz and Ruth and the OBGYN nurse from my church can act in love, kindness, and faithfulness toward us, towards others, because that is how God acts toward them, and that's how God acts toward us. And how can we respond? In the story here today, Boaz recognizes Ruth's good character and the way that she's been faithful to Naomi. And it's a big reason why he's willing to redeem her. That's wonderful. We all have a Redeemer, the only Son of God. Amen. And nothing compares to the good news of Jesus Christ. It comes without conditions. We did not have to earn our redemption by being loyal or faithful. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So if you've not had a chance to learn about your Redeemer, Jesus, please talk to me, one of your clergy team, one of the elders in our church, and ask them. And if you know Jesus, be ready to give a testimony to anyone who asks about the hope that you have. And secondly, you can show God's kindness and faithfulness by sacrificial actions. Being a good neighbor, being a good friend, by listening to someone who's hurting, by praying for the sick, by praying for your enemies, by giving of your time, talent, and treasure to both your church and your community, by showing hospitality, by loving others instead of judging them. You can be someone's Boaz or Ruth. Thanks be to God.